We're going to come back to that, but let me complete the cycle with the Holy Spirit. I call that the Egyptian curse, and it is a distortion of creation and natural law. I had lunch once with somebody who was an active practitioner of Egyptian witchcraft, and I said, what makes that different from anything else? They said, oh, it's simple. Everything's inside out, upside down, backwards. That's all you need to know about the Egyptian. I said, thanks, conversation's over. And we've seen that throughout the world manifest very easily in Freemasonry. Let me give you two illustrations. When an individual takes a medication and it has the opposite reaction, you take blood pressure medication and it makes your blood pressure go up instead of down, my first question, any Freemason in your family line? Because Freemasonry is one of the many illustrations of the Egyptian heresy. When somebody takes antihistamine and they're allergic to it, when the body is behaving in a way that makes no sense at all, that's inside out, upside down, backwards, I think somewhere or another, either this person or their bloodline has gotten involved in Egyptian heresy, the reversal of the laws of science, the way God designed creation to work. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, we know wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. I believe that all wisdom is summed up, all truth summed up under those seven primary principles. And in Proverbs 8:27, wisdom is speaking, says, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundaries, the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. The portrayal of wisdom as the incarnation of the Holy Spirit, living out, acting out, using those principles, the principles of natural law, in order to create in the first place and then to maintain life as we know it. Just a brief review on the principles. I see natural law having three categories. The first category is the relationship between man and matter. We have another term for that. We call it the laws of science. They're predictable, universal, non-optional, cause and effect relationships. Using the laws of science, we can tell where Mars is going to be 10 years in the future, and we can put some litter on Mars because we can extrapolate from the relationship between man and matter. Those laws of science are so dependable. The second set is a relationship between man and man. And this is where the secular humanists violently protest there is no such set of principles. And yet we can look at our history and see that we fulfill them over and over again, whether we like it or not. Book of Ecclesiastes says, where judgment is slow, where your courts are inefficient, crime increases. What nation in the world has a higher percentage of their population behind bars than any other nation? The United States of America, because we've got justice that is slower than slow, cause and effect, the principles are playing out. In a few weeks, I'm going to be in Texas talking about social justice. How did we get here? We got here through the violation of principles between man and man, and we're not going to fix it with protests, we're not going to fix it with band-aids, we're not going to fix it until we're addressing those foundational principles that bring about all these ills into society. So the first level is a relationship between man and matter, the second man and man, the third level between man and the spirit realm. So the work that Nancy and the others in her class did regarding working with the human spirit, that was applying principles. If you do this, you're going to get those results. And one of the things I didn't talk about that she discovered is that when you're working with a human spirit, you receive as much as you give. It's one of those very different propositions. I know the difference between a spirit event and a soul event. At the end of a soul event, I go home absolutely drained. At the end of a spirit event, we got to hold the truck down to the highway because I'm floating, you know? And as she ministered to people's spirits, she was giving extravagantly and receiving. That's a principle of life from the spirit to spirit level. So the Holy Spirit has ordered a set of principles, said this is wisdom, these seven principles, and by the way, folks, they work. Secular humanism has come along and said there are no such thing as those principles. We don't need to worry about them. We can just do whatever we want, and it'll all work out. And you look at the disasters that we're making right, left, and center. One last thing about this category. The New Age movement and others of that ilk have come very close to the truth. They have proclaimed that nature is God. And the truth, which is close to that but different, is that God reveals himself in nature. This is Job chapter 12, verse 7. Ask the animals, they will teach you, or the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? So everything in creation is a picture of the Most High God, but creation is not God. We're so close and yet miles apart on that central issue. And in the church today, there is relatively little room for the full manifestation of the work of the Holy Spirit. We are comfortable with signs and wonders and miracles, the power of God coming and overriding our brokenness. That's acceptable in the church. But when you begin talking about hearing the land or having a relationship with some part of creation and the spirituality of animals, all of a sudden you're New Age, you're in heresy, you're off base. But that is the area that God is opening up in this mercy season, is for us to see the full range of the immensity of his nature expressed in creation. Creation is not God, but everything in creation is a portrait of God if we're able to see it, embrace it, and hear it.